Hi, I'm Lisa Davis, and I am so thrilled to have back on the show the amazing Judith Orloff. Hello, Judith. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
It has been far too long. You have so many good books. The last time I had you on, we talked about emotional freedom, liberate yourself from negative emotions, and transform your life, which was in 2010. Since then, you've done more and more. I just tell everybody about your work, and then we'll jump right into the topic.
All right. Thank you. Well, my work is that I'm a psychiatrist, and I also combine intuition, energy, medicine, and spirituality into my work. And so I'm a bridge between traditional medicine and other complementary techniques. So that really is my passion.
Well, talk to us about the intuitive part. What does that mean?
Well, I tune in. I listen to my patients with my analytic mind. But I also listen for any gut feelings, intuitions, hunches, dreams, any kind of senses of energy that I get from patients, and I integrate that into my diagnosis and treatment.
Oh, that's so interesting. Well, today we're talking about another book. You're amazing. The Ecstasy of Surrender. What does that mean?
Well, I wrote The Ecstasy of Surrender because I saw as a psychiatrist a missing piece in people's well-being and health is that they can't let go, is that they often hold and clutch and force things so much, and they haven't learned the art of when to move forward and realize your dreams and put all the willpower forward, and when to back off and when to slow, when to listen to intuition rather than pushing forward, let's say if a door is shut. So I've incorporated the principle of surrender and how it can help you achieve success, how it can improve relationships, how it's related to finding your soulmate, and how it can help you release fear of money and achieve abundance. And I've also applied it to illness, aging, and death, and how it can, you know, help us with all of those huge issues in our human lives.
You know, it's so interesting when I read the book, and I was so struck by what you just said about death. You know, my mother unfortunately died, it'll be 19 years this year, from ovarian cancer, and she was only in her 50s. And there was a point where we all knew that, you know, the hospice was there, and there was still this just fight and this not letting go. And this, there was a point where I was like, Mom, it's hard. Like, what do you say? And it just seemed like it made it worse because there wasn't a peace with it. And it was really difficult to watch. And I don't know what I would be like in that situation. So there's no judgment, but it was just that surrendering is so important.
Yes, the surrendering to everything in life, but also the final surrender, which is the last chapter of the book, which is death, is that that's an appointment we all must keep. And it's a letting go. And, you know, I'm a big believer in an afterlife and that the spirit lives on. So from my perspective, there's not really a whole lot to be afraid of. But the surrender of death comes from letting go of that fear. And what that does is that it helps you lead your life more joyously and more in the moment now. And I know as a physician working in hospitals that the fear of death permeates, you know, everything. And many doctors have fear of death, which stops them from, you know, really being loving and lighthearted with terminal patients because, you know, when you go, you want somebody who's lighthearted and shining light on you, not someone who's afraid and
yes.
Looking the other direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes so much sense. What about surrendering fear or, you know, maybe forgiveness? I mean, I know a lot of people that, you know, had horrible things happen to them in the hands of loved ones as children. What do you say to them where they feel like if you forgive and you surrender that you're somehow saying it was okay, but I don't think that's the case. I'm not very eloquent on this. I think you know what I'm trying to say.
Right. I'm not defining surrender as defeat or weakness or giving in. I'm not defining it as that. I'm defining it as a very proactive, positive stance to take in terms of surrendering resentments. And it doesn't mean that you forgive whoever for doing whatever, no matter how horrible it is. It doesn't mean you forgive the act. But what you do forgive is the suffering that perpetrated the act. And also you work to release and surrender resentments simply for your own sense of peace.
Sure.
In, You know, it's your own sense of peace. If you walk around your entire life shouldering a million resentments, you're going to not only feel terrible, you're going to look terrible. You know, because resentments and anger becomes etched on the face and the body, and it ages you. So if you want to have a more surrendered and radiant look, you know, with surrender comes radiance and attractive physical appearance as well as vibrant health. You know, you've got to let go of the resentments and keep on moving in your life. You know, you've been hurt, you've been disappointed, we all have, you know, and some more, you know, some degree than less to others degree, you know, to a lesser degree, but still, we want to move forward towards love and surrender towards love and try to make this world a better place, try to make our own spheres, our own individual lives and the people around us, you know, a much better place, and we want to spread love. So everyone who gets an illness knows that your priorities really shift quickly. You know, you see what's important. You see that love is important. You see that service is important. You know, and you just see that living each moment is important. You know, but we don't want to wait for a crisis to learn to surrender what isn't important. You know, we want to really get our priorities clear now in terms of what's important in our lives and surrender any debris that keeps us from knowing this love.
Yeah, that is so true. You know, another thing I love is you talk about control, that, you know, we might want to control everything or like to control everything, but everything can't be controlled. And the first step to healing is to really realize that.
Oh, yes. I mean, life is a flow. If you look at all of nature, if you look at rivers, if you look at creeks, you look at the sky, you know, you look at, you know, I have a chapter on surrendering to nature, earth, water, fire, and air, and looking at the elements as models for how to surrender. You know, there's a flow to nature, and as human beings, we're mostly made up of water. And so, you know, we need to resonate with that flow rather than just stay in our minds, which want to control everything, you know, every little last thing, which you can't control. The desire to control is in the mind. But if you tune into your intuition, intuition is all about flow. It's about tuning into flow. The mind is what's about controlling everything. And, you know, people don't like to be controlled. You know, if you are a controller, they don't like it. And it's not a way to facilitate good business relationships, good love relationships. You know, you want to have a collaboration, more of a flowing love between you, rather than, you know, the need to control. People have the need to control because they feel insecure. You know, because they want everything in their lives to be under their control. Then it will feel safe. It will feel, you know, more comfortable. But it's an illusion. You don't have that control, you know, and not really. And, you know, having that much control doesn't speak well to having faith in life. You know, there's a faith in the integrity of life's flow. You know, seeing where it takes you. You know, realizing that there are larger forces at work other than your mind or your desires. And maybe if you can, to give up your ego a little bit and tune into them and co-partner, you know, with, let's say, you know, you don't believe in God. Maybe you do. God is an okay word. Or spirit or love or intelligence or nature. But there's something bigger than you. And if you ever doubt it, just look up. Look up at the sky at night. Look up at the universes above us. It is huge. It is magnificent. It is beyond our conception. And so to surrender to that, you know, and keep that in perspective as you go about your life, I think could be very helpful.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, another thing I love about the book is to, you have to protect yourself and avoid, you know, picking up other people's negative energy. What are some tips for that, Dr. Orloff?
Right, exactly. I have a section on empathic illnesses in the Ecstasy of Surrender. And this is where, you know, some people, like myself, are so sensitive that you pick up the energy or emotions or even physical symptoms of others and you absorb it into your own body. So you have to learn how not to do that. It's wonderful to be sensitive. It's beautiful to be sensitive and open and loving. But it is not helpful to absorb other people's stress or symptoms into your own body. So that's why it's really important to set limits and boundaries with people, to be able to say no to people, to be able to, you know, develop a, you know, a bit of a meditation practice so you can breathe and center yourself and come back to yourself rather than just absorbing all the time. And, you know, learning to get in water, showers, baths, hot springs, all of that can It was always, you know, in terms of the native cultures, very cleansing, you know, very cleansing. If you get around too much stress, you know, just get in a shower, go swimming, or go get in a bathtub, or at least wash your hands, you know, so you can do all those things. And then smudging also is another native tradition, you know, to clear out negative energy. And breathing is such a beautiful surrender technique, to breathe and breathe out stress. Don't clench your jaw or hold your breath, as that keeps the stress and the negativity within your own body.
Yeah, it really does. You know, I recently discovered I have a teeth grinding issue, which I didn't realize. I went to see my dentist, and they said, well, you should get a night guard. And I'll get around to it. Well, I didn't. Anyway, I ended up in tremendous pain. But apparently, and I finally got one. I feel great. But I obviously, the point of my story, Dr. Orloff, is that I'm finally, I must be really holding tension there, and I didn't even realize it.
Right, exactly. The body will tell you where you hold the tension. And that's great that you took action. And then you solve the problem. But there's, listen to the body. There's a chapter in the book called The Divinity of the Body, and it's about listening to the signals that your body sends. You know, if your jaw is clenching, you know, if your muscles in your back are tight, you know, if you're having stomach aches, if you're having migraines, whatever your body is telling you, these are all signs to just stop, pause, listen, what's the message? So that you can listen to what the body needs at that moment. And then you won't be fighting the body's messages. You want to surrender to your body. Your body is your inner guru. You know, it will tell you exactly what it needs. All right, but the problem is, what I see as a physician is that most people don't listen, as their minds override their bodies, and they push instead of surrender to the body. So, you know, the shift I'm suggesting in the book is to really do both. You know, really use your mind for what it's good for, your logic and, you know, all of your lists you want to make and so forth. But also listen to your intuition and listen to the power of flow so that you can kind of blend that with the mind. Don't do either or, but don't forget about flow either.
Yeah, it's funny. I laugh when you were talking about that, because when I get sick, I get really upset. I'm like, I hate being sick. And I don't just surrender. I'm like, okay, I'm going to cancel my interviews and get in bed. I mean, I do, but I'm like really upset about it, instead of just being like, okay, my body's trying to tell me I need to take it easy and I need to rest. So I definitely have areas that I need to work on.
Well, yes, and we all do, of course. And, you know, in the book, I celebrate baby steps. You know, anything you can do to let go a little bit, I hope you can celebrate it. You know, if anyone listening today could just start breathing more deeply as a result of this interview.
You know, makes a difference.
Makes a huge difference. You know, just slow down. Look around you. Take in, you know, the beauty that's around you. Slow down your life a little bit and surrender to it so it doesn't pass by so quickly.
Oh, that is beautiful. Dr. Orloff, how do we learn more about you and your wonderful book, The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life?
Well, the book is now on Amazon and out in the bookstores, and also on my website, which is drjudithorloff.com.
Oh, Dr. Orloff, thank you so much. Let's not wait another 4 years. I love speaking with you.
Oh, same here. Thank you.